Welcome again to All Villages. We're so glad again you joined us. It's Easter morning. There's no better day, in my opinion, than Easter morning. Easter is that time we remember again and we celebrate what God accomplished through Jesus for us, for the whole world. And he invites us to remember, he invites us to celebrate, he invites us to then walk in that reality every single day of our lives. Easter isn't just one day a year. Yes, we remember it one day, but it's something we can live into and we should live into every single day of our lives. But I'm so excited you joined us. Before we go any further, though, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for what it means to be called your children, to have a relationship with you. That you love us completely. Now, there's nothing we can do to make you love us any more or make you love us any less. And so, Lord, we ask that you would take this time, bless it, use it, help us to lean in for what you have for us. Help us to truly be encouraged, Lord, that you are doing a great work. You were the God who remained silent on Good Friday. But you're having the last word now. And so have that word, do that work, that newness of life in us this moment and always. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, we've been going through Matthew, and we are at that point of that section of Matthew, the end of Matthew. The climax of Matthew is the cross, for sure. But it only makes sense when you realize that Jesus rises from the dead. It starts to flesh out in ways that it just never would have if without the resurrection. And there's so many things Matthew does to make sure you know that this really happened, okay? And all the craziness, and I mean, I can just imagine them talking about this around a campfire like, no, I know it's going to sound crazy, or I know it's going to sound like, I mean, I can barely believe it myself, right? Some of the things that happen, we have multiple earthquakes, we have dead people rising, we have zombies walking around, we have so much happening, we have angels coming around, which again, Matthew's written primarily to a Jewish audience, so it wouldn't have been a big deal to have an angel, because angels were used as kind of like verifying this happened in the Jewish tradition, right? Like the angel was here for this, an angel was here for this, an angel was here for this. So multiple times we have that these angels show up and how important it is, again, for verifying, saying this really did happen. So anyhow, there's lots going on with this, but remember, Matthew is about us, kingdom versus kingdom. And chapter 26 is about the beginning of the end. Jesus had told them three times, I am not going to come back from Jerusalem. That I'm going to be handed over, that my life is going to be taken away. And yet, I will overcome. God has a plan. Chapter 27 is when he's actually condemned and he's crucified, and it is brutal. And Matthew puts details in there that you just, it's just so, so difficult. And you can imagine it, you can envision it as you read it, and the drops of blood that just feel over and over, and what it cost Jesus. So we could have a relationship, so he could have an answer, so God could speak to evil and injustice and say no more. And then we find in chapter 28, death to victory, that there is no more. That he goes from death and yet into this, and that's the paradox of Christian faith, that it looks like Jesus is another failed Messiah. And yet because of what God has done in him and through him, we now have victory. And so his victory over death is our victory over death. And so I just want to jump into it, a couple verses here in chapter 28 of dawn breaking in, that Jesus again has predicted his death, and yet in that prediction, he is coming to them and showing them who God is and what God has to say. If you've ever wondered, where is God in this? Look to the cross. If you've ever wondered, God, why don't you do something? Look to that empty tomb. That is his answer to evil, and that's an answer that's for always. And we have to understand that his new age is coming to bear, and he invites us into that. So let's jump into the text, verse 1 of chapter 28. Early on Sunday morning, as a new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Okay? They didn't have a chance. The Sabbath had just was starting when he was taken down from the cross. So they just wrapped him quickly without any herbs or anything like that. We have from the other two accounts of Jesus of this in this part. And so here they are visiting the tomb. It's more like mourners than anything else. They don't have Matthew doesn't really share about them having any herbs, but we have accounts from that in other parts. But the point is this, that here they are, and it's Matthew wants everyone to know, they went with him to the burial, right? So they know which grave is his. So it's not like, the ladies were confused. They chose the wrong grave. It was an empty grave. Come on, you know. And so, no, they were there. Now they're coming back. And so Matthew's setting it up. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So this is the second earthquake in 3 days, right? So Friday night to Saturday is the Sabbath. And so this would have been the first day of the week, Sunday morning, which is why we celebrate Sundays, okay, in the Christian tradition, and why that's our Sabbath. It's the beginning of God's new creation, the new age being ushered in this Jesus that rose from the dead. So this earthquake has happened, and for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone. I love how he puts on this, you know, little detail, and sat on it, right? It's like, can you see this, right? His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was like white as snow. I mean, this was a very, again, epic kind of moment, you can imagine. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. I mean, they're like, oh, if we don't move, they won't see us, right? Like they're just freaked out. They're just like, oh my gosh, did that just happen, right? Listen to what the angel says. The angel spoke to the women, not to the guards, but to the women. Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. Matthew's wanting to be crystal clear here. Jesus died a real death. That it wasn't an accident. They didn't think he was mostly dead for those Princess Bride fans. They were like, no, he died a real death. They're going to mourn. They're going to the tomb. They don't know what's happened, but they just are going because they're longing for him. They're longing to be with him. And here this angel visits and says, don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. And here's the good news. He isn't here. He's like, no, he's not here. He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen. He's doing everything again that he shared. He says, come, see where his body was lying. I mean, think about that. He's not like, listen, why are you here? He's not rebuking them. He's not giving them like, you know, Jesus said he was going to leave. Why are you guys even visiting? No, he's like, come, check out the tomb. Come look. He's not here. I think we should be encouraged by that because sometimes there are things we just don't know what God's doing or we don't understand or see where he's working. And so sometimes we can kind of pull back and he's like, no, come and see. God is a way maker. He'll find a way. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. He says, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going on ahead of you to Galilee. So he's like, listen, now you saw, now go. I want you to tell my brothers, tell the disciples, tell them Jesus is coming back and he's on his way to Galilee and he'll meet him there, right? You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. Now, the women are kind of like, whoa, right? Here it comes. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. So they're on their way. They got their plan. They set their course, and now they're trucking. And look what Jesus does. As they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. He surprised them. Angel didn't say they were going to do that or that was going to happen to them. And yet he meets them right where they're at. As they're obeying what the Lord had told them through the angel, God does that in our lives too. That as we follow him, as we obey him, we find moment upon moment upon moment where God meets with us and encourages us and supports us and helps us have the strength, the power to live. He doesn't say it here, but we have it really, really soon from here. But he says that we have the same spirit that was in Jesus. I mean, think about that. I mean, try to grasp that. I don't feel like Jesus at times, like most times, almost all the time, right? The reality, though, is that Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives in us when we say yes to Him. It's about us surrendering more. And as He gives us strength and power and guidance, then we live out of that strength, power, and guidance. Be encouraged that Jesus will be with us every step of the way. The text goes on, as they ran, and they ran to Him, grasped His feet, and worshiped Him. In other words, they just laid right down on the ground. They're just like, oh my gosh, You really are here. Like, so He tells them this, the angel tells them this, then He meets them while they're obeying Him, and they're like, what? And so they go run over, celebrate Him, worship Him, and how beautiful would that have been? I mean, they thought He was gone, but they now realize everything was different. You ever had news come to you that changed everything? I mean, could have been the doctor that said, hey, this is not looking good, but we're going to do another test, and you get the results, and they say that everything is good. Or maybe you get the job that you have been hoping for, praying for, lobbying for, interviewing, everything you can, doing it, and then it changes everything. What news have you gotten? Because this is the news that's changing their lives. And this news should change our lives as well. This Jesus wants a relationship with us, with you and me, because He's good, because He's gracious, because He's God, because He's love. And He wants us to have that intimacy and that connection as well. Text concludes, then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. They go to the graveside expecting again loss and grief and mourning and just pain. Remember when they might have a few laughs or they might be able to celebrate a couple moments, but man, it is still so raw. Friday had come and Jesus had died a real death. They lived with it through the Sabbath. How restful was that? Sunday morning, they're the first ones. As dawn is breaking, they're on their way. They get to the grave, and boom, their whole lives are transformed. I mean, it is a game changer. Again, I said earlier in my prayer that God, the God who remains silent on Good Friday, was having the last word on this Sunday. The first day of the week, God is doing something new. He's the start of something new. We have to understand that this Jesus isn't just kind of like, okay, I just needed to do this, and it was that one thing, and it's no big deal anymore. It just kind of happened. God wants a relationship. He's looking to redeem and restore and renew you, me, the whole world to Himself. But He can't do that until He accomplishes what God has called Him to do. And then because of that, now He invites us to partner with Him, to become His brothers and sisters, His actual children, that we may walk and learn to be in step with Him. One step at a time, one day at a time. There's going to be moments we're going to feel really great about life, and where things are good and we feel, man, this is fantastic. There's going to be those seasons we are just down and we're like, I don't see a way out. And it's no matter we're on the highs or the lows of life, we have to remember that Jesus started something in this resurrection, that He started something new. But this resurrection isn't just about this one moment. It's again about us living into that. I mean, you ever thought about what resurrection really is all about? It's so much bigger than just one man overcoming death. This is God's purposes, His promised one from back in the day, back from Abraham and Moses and David and the prophets and the Psalms over and over again, talking about God writing the world, setting the world to rights. And yet, we just see it sometimes as, oh, well, it's that time of year again. God wants to do so much more than just prove some point. He's not offering a new spiritual experience. That's not what resurrection is about. No, resurrection is about God's purpose now being fulfilled. And we can experience fulfillment in our own lives when we realize it's about relationships, or relationship with our Heavenly Father, healthy relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. How can we help and support our church family? And then how do we live in that relationship and with those relationships with the Lord out into the world? It's about relationships. It's so much bigger and so much better. But you don't have to know the secret prayer. You don't have to figure out the secret handshake. It's not about those things in any way. It's very simple. It's so simple. It's when you and I stop, surrender, and say, Lord, not my will, your will. Lord, may you be, help me to see you and live in accordance with you, that you are the Lord of my life. You are King of Kings. You are the one true King, the matchless King, that there is no King like our King, the risen King, and his name is Jesus. And so I want to invite you to see that this is changing everything, that this relationship is God's kingdom coming. That God has been vindicated, the Son of Man has been vindicated because of all his suffering that he went through. And again, it's not just the dawning of just another day or another week in the history of Israel or the world, but the start of God's new age coming in, changing from the inside out, bringing the nations into obedience. Scripture would say that the new age has begun. It's not, this new age isn't just this time when we die and go be with the Lord. No, this new age begins in Jesus. He doesn't just kind of die and then we see him floating up to heaven. No, he dies and then talks, trains, teaches, commissions, and sends out these believers, these brothers and sisters in Christ, to go into the world and tell others. This new age has begun. That our life in Christ, that Jesus being Lord, is and it's still coming into bear on this world. It's going to be a challenge between our kingdom and his kingdom at times. And that's the hardest part. It's simple, and yet it's so hard. Because Jesus says, I want you to learn to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. And that's usually where people stop. That's a big one right there. But it's true. He calls us to die. But in that dying, we find we truly start to live. May you know this to be true. May you experience it this morning like you've never experienced it before. God's presence in your life, because you just stopped and surrendered, said, Lord, not my will, your will. I want your Son to be Lord of my life. Help me to follow you. Help me to experience resurrection this day, this moment, right now, forever. That I'm not in this thing called life alone anymore. That maybe I can start realizing you were always with me from the very beginning. It can just be a simple, Lord, I want to be your child. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. You don't have to, again, have to have all the special words or know all the right things to say or do. But the question that I want to throw at you is kind of what the angel said. You want to look inside? Go look inside the tomb. Do you see him? And then telling the ladies, go tell the disciples that he's going to be over in Galilee. He's going to do life with them for another 50 days. He's going to be there for this thing called Pentecost. It's going to be a huge movement. God's going to be doing a great thing through this Jesus, and you don't want to miss it. Go tell them. And then they go and obey him. And all these things start kind of piling in together. And they got a chance to see him too. You'll see him in your life. You'll see him in how he lives through you and how he gives you strength and he changes your thinking and he helps you have a new mind and how to live and how to love others. This is not just something we do once a year because we're supposed to. We do it because we need it. We need God to pour his very life in ours and to live new lives. I think if you learn to see him by walking with him and obeying him, then they'll see me there as well. That other people will see him in how you live. Jesus tells them, and he tells us today, you will see me, and then you must go. You're going to need to tell others. You're going to live like my people. You're going to be my new creations in the whole world. I need you to do that. Don't miss it. Don't miss this opportunity to grow in him, to be the people God's called you to be. The final word is this. Live this out this day. This with resurrection power, with resurrection life, that this new life God gave him, he gives us, and it's important for us to lean into it and to actually believe it and be a part of our life. It's not about being perfect. It's not about pretending. It's not about putting on some facade for others or family members. It's about you and I being so real, so transparent with the Lord, and realizing that his life in us is the only way this thing works. You're going to experience so many different challenges in life. You have probably already. You aren't supposed to do it on your own. You need that relationship with the Lord. You need relationship with the brothers and sisters in Christ. But know that today you can start living it out. Now, we have some homework, I know, on Easter. Well, you can take a break today, but this week we want you to dig into Revelation chapters 1 through 3. We're going to be starting our new series in that. I'm really excited about getting involved in that. Remember, Revelation is about a letter of hope. A lot of times people get afraid, get scared, get like all these charts and stuff. We're going to dig in and dig deep, but I want you to know it's a beautiful letter. But be encouraged in that. Now receive the benediction on this Easter morning, this beautiful morning. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you, his spirit in us, right? Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you right where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless. Happy Easter, and we'll see you next week.